I'd like to start in Mark the chapter 8. And it's addressing one of Jesus' miracles. Starting in verse 1, it says, "In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" So here we have the disciples doing exactly what we just talked about. And they're saying, this is a great multitude of people. Where are we going to come up with enough food to feed them and to be able to satisfy them even in the least, you know? And Jesus' response was, and he asked them, "How many loaves have you?" Well, I venture to say that the disciples and Jesus and whoever was with them was not capable of carrying enough food around with them to be able to supply the needs of all these people that were gathered around. And so when he asked them, "How many loaves have you?" It's kind of it pales in comparison of what's needed to supply the need. And I can imagine them thinking, you know, okay. And they said, seven loaves. And you've got a multitude of people there. It's going to say how many it was in a little while, but it said there was 4,000. And then obviously they say to calculate the women and children, you're well above that. Not that you would need to for it to be a miracle. You know, seven loaves would not have fed us probably today. Okay? And here we have 4,000 plus people. But he asked them, "What do you have?" And they told him that they have seven loaves. And he commanded the people to sit on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and gave thanks and broke and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. So one of the things I think about when I'm reading this is the fact that Jesus knew what he was able to do. He had the capacity to feed them. He could have had the bread come down from heaven, right? I mean, they did that in Moses' time. They didn't provide anything. They didn't supply any of the bread at all in order to multiply it. God just supplied it all. And he did it from bread from heaven and fed the multitude or the children of Israel out in the wilderness. And so he didn't need their seven loaves. Okay? But yet he asked them, "What do you have?" And I think about the fact that they gave what they had. And I think it's very important for us in every aspect of our life that it not always be just a, you know, a welfare type system, you know what I mean? But yet God is receiving from our hand. They had some skin in the game, if you want to say it. Right? People would use that term where they had a little bit of involvement in it. And so Jesus asked for what they had. And so they gave all that they had, although it was a minimal amount. Although that it was unable to meet the needs of the multitude, it paled greatly in comparison of what was going to be needed. He still allowed them to give what they had. And in that, he used what they had and he multiplied it greatly and was able to feed the multitude. And it says, and they did set them before the people and they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. Okay, so all the people, not only did they eat it, you know, people would maybe try to dissect this passage and say, well, yeah, they gave everybody a little crumb, you know what I mean? And that crumb satisfied them or whatever. But no, it says that they all ate and they were all full and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. Okay, so no, it was no just a little crumb here, a little crumb there. Here's a little piece of flesh for you, a little piece of flesh for you. No, he literally multiplied it and it became more than what they had when they began. And that's what God can do with our temporal things, if you will. Okay, we all have temporal needs that we have, things that weigh heavily upon us. And sometimes those needs can be very heavy. And they can affect us spiritually because the needs are heavy. And so part of what I want to bring about in this passage is that God cares about those. He cares about our needs. Let's say 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. So I'd like to remind us that God very much cares about our temporal needs. Amen. You know, my wife was mentioning some of our things that we've been going through this, I don't know, last few weeks or month or I don't know. It seems like it's been a while. But and it seems like things just compound on a compound and our things are not as great as others. You know, I think of Marcus and Carissa and what they've been bearing, you know, I don't know, it seems like it's been a really long time for them too. But it's maybe what, 3 months or?
Over 2 months.
It just wears heavily on you. You know, where it just feels like you can't hardly bear it. It seems overwhelming unto you. And it will eventually, or can eventually, affect you spiritually. And just really create a lot of turmoil in your heart. And I want us to remember what Jesus said. In verse 2, he says, I have compassion on the multitude. These people have been following Jesus. He said for 3 days, and they have been seeking him out, seeking his teachings, wanting to hear from him. And maybe they had needs in their body. Maybe they were seeking healings or maybe they were searching after some of that as well. But I would say primarily, at least in my mind, they were there for spiritual purposes. To hear the word of God, to hear Jesus speak, to hear him teach, to be around him and to be in that presence. And that's what their focus was. That was their intent. And yet Jesus looked beyond that and said, I know they're hungry. I know they have needs. And I'm not going to let them go away without meeting those needs first. It doesn't say that they asked him. It didn't say that the multitude cried out for food and water or whatever, supply our needs. It doesn't say that. It says that Jesus knew they had needs. He knew they were hungry and he had compassion on them. And out of his compassion, he fed them. Okay. And he fed a whole bunch of them. And then he was able to send them away. And, it's important for me and for us to remember that God cares about all those things. Because we know the Word of God. We know that the Scriptures say to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, right? We know that we're supposed to follow after or search after those spiritual things because they are much more important than our temporal and our temporal needs. But it doesn't mean that our temporal needs aren't important at all. And it very much can affect our spiritual if they aren't met. And so the Lord knows that about us and He's able to meet those needs as well. What I'd like to do now is turn to John chapter 6. John 6 and 25. And this is another instance where Jesus had just fed the 5,000. And, you know, the same situation where they had more than they started with and everything else, right? And so this is, after that happened, Jesus took ship and they didn't know where he went. They went and followed him and found him again. And they met Jesus again. And I think that's where we're starting him. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. And so in this particular case, they had, you know, he had just done the 5,000 prior to this. But now he's saying, look, you all are now switched. You know, before I took care of your needs, when you didn't even ask me to, I was able to take care of your spiritual needs, and I was able to meet those spiritual needs, but then I also saw to your physical needs, even though you didn't ask me about them. But now these individuals, by appearance, at least in what Jesus is saying, is that they were there now in pursuit of what he could provide for them temporally. He said, you're here looking for the loaves, and that's why you're here, because you were filled with the loaves. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. And so now Jesus gives them a bit of a reprimand and saying, look, now you guys are seeking after those things which are carnal or those things which are temporal and making that the priority, when rather you should be seeking after that which does not decay, or that does not wax old, or however it says it, that which is stored up in heaven for eternity. That's what you ought to be seeking after. And that's what the story was that we read prior to this. And that they were looking to Jesus for his teaching. They were looking to him for what he can do for them spiritually. And then he met their needs physically. And now it's backwards where they're looking to him physically. And so much so, I believe that this was maybe at a time too where they probably considered him to be a perfect candidate for a king, because he could feed the poor, he could take care of them, he can protect them from sickness, and you know all of the things that Jesus was doing. But yet they were looking at it from a carnal perspective rather than what God was going to do and make it an eternal one. And so they were getting short-sighted in their minds and were looking more on the temporal things. And so what happens? He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. And then they changed the subject. They said, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And so what I took from this is that they were there in pursuit of the loaves, but yet they didn't walk away with anything. You know, the one they pursued after that which was spiritual, they pursued after the teachings of Jesus and his ministry, and they went away with that and with their bellies filled. And this group was in pursuit of that which was temporal, and they didn't get either one. And so I think it just reminds me that we still put the things of God first and prioritize God and what he's doing and what is important in the ministry or important in our lives, to seek after that which is spiritual first, and then the Lord still takes care of us temporally. It reminded me of somebody when I was in prison. I first got saved. There was a brother that I had come in contact with. That I mean, the two of us was like, you know, I don't know. When Jesus sent out the 72 by two, we would have been a pair, right? We would have been one of the twos. And I really felt like the Lord had yoked us up together, and it was a blessing that we had, and in that early stage of my development to really grow and to really have confidence and to be willing to face the world and all of its opposition and to stand for Christ. And I believe that he was a part of that strength and stability, that I wasn't all by myself. And so circumstances came about where he ended up having to move, and he went to another place. And when I ran into him years later, I mean, it was, oh, I don't know, maybe 10 years later that I ran into him. And like I said, this man, I mean, we were... I'm not trying to lift us up in and of ourselves, but I would say we were a force for God. The Lord was working in our lives, and we were sold out and dedicated to the things of God, and our pursuit was the Lord and service unto God. And we, neither one of us had a whole lot of hope ahead of us for carnal things. We both had life sentences. There wasn't a whole lot of vision of carnal things, of worldly things. And so we had the spiritual, and we were very excited about it because it was an opportunity to have something where our lives could be meaningful and beneficial, and it was a great cause. The kingdom of God is a great cause. And so we were fired up about it. When I ran into him 10 years later, he wasn't serving the Lord. And I asked him, what's going on, brother? I did. I asked him, what is going on? And what he had told me was that he felt like he had to focus on getting out of prison. And so he focused his time, he focused his energy, he learned the law and, you know, went through appeals and, you know, he switched his vision, he switched his mindset and sought after those things which were temporal to try to gain a footing, I guess, and on the outside world, temporal things. And in that, he lost the spiritual fire that he had. And he said, well, I've got to get out there for my mom. My mom needs me. And I completely get that. I fully understand that as a motivation. But you got to remember that your mom, his mom was a Christian. I said, bro, your mom wants you to live for God more than anything else. Even if you don't ever get out there to be with her, that's something that she wants for you more than anything else in the world. But he threw it away for that which was temporal, because he saw it as being a priority. He saw it as being an absolute necessity. But because he focused his energy, his time, all of the... He poured it into that temporal thing, that temporal pursuit, and it can come in a multitude of different ways. You know, we can pour so much energy into a relationship that we're trying to have be a good relationship, and yet choke out our relationship with the Lord in doing that. We can do the same thing in trying to make a good home for our family and our children, and we pursue all that there is out there in the world to get as much money as we can to bring into the home, to be able to have the things that our children need, or the house that our children need, or to provide for our family. And we can get so consumed in that focus that we lose sight and we lose our family spiritually. We lose our children spiritually, or we lose our spouses spiritually to the things of the world because we've lost our focus and we're seeking after those things which are carnal rather than those things which are spiritual. But yet God has said that if we will seek the things that are spiritual, we can obtain the things which are temporal. And he sought their needs. He saw their need. It wasn't even so much that they brought it to him. The Lord knows our needs. He knows that I need to bring in a living for my family, for them to be able to live and to support them and to take care of their needs. He knows that. I don't even really need to tell him that. Although, I mean, obviously it is a prayer, right? It is something that we discuss with the Lord. We present all of our cares before him because he wants us to. He says, cast all of your cares on me, for I care for you. And so it's not so much that we're trying to eliminate them, but we got to remember what's most important. Yes. Because ultimately, even if we didn't get our all of the temporal things that we think are necessary, that we think are priorities, if we seek after that which is spiritual, we still get more.
Yes. Amen.
We still get way in abundance more benefit and blessing out of that than we would if we pursued all the things of the world and gained all the riches and gained all the fame and you know, our children didn't have a want in the world. And I hate to tell you, but if your children don't ever have a want in the world, they're liable to be spoiled.
Yes.
And it's going to ruin them that way.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that we have to provide you know, that for them, the world will do it for them. You don't have to create that for them, I don't think. But the Lord cares about those things.
Yes.
But you know, I mean, I could just use myself as an example. The things that we've been going through on a temporal basis, like I said, it's not huge, but when it's one thing after another, it gets you to thinking like, you know, I need to start focusing on this, you know. I've got to get all this stuff worked out and where we can breathe a little bit. No. Cut that off.
Yes.
That's not the pursuit. That is not the solution. If anything, it's a time to dig deeper and to draw nearer unto the Lord and to be more committed, to be more surrendered, to be more consecrated, and to have more of a desire for the things of God, for the kingdom of God, for the ministry of souls. It's more important that we draw nearer unto that because the devil's battling against it. And if he could get me to focus otherwise and to start being worried and concerned about temporal things, then I'm going to end up like Frank. And I'm going to not have anything to show for the fire that once was there. And the desire to serve God that once was there, you know, him against the world. And it's now disappeared, and there's no fire. There's not even a spark that I could tell. Very sad. And I know the same could happen to me if I lose vision and I lose sight of what is really important in our lives. You know, I was thinking about it and imagining, I forget what was happening, but you were talking about somebody, you know, passing on, and they get into heaven basically, and I just imagine them thinking within themselves like, what was I even worried about? Why was I even really caring about this or that, or what was I even thinking? You know, when our eyes are open and the reality sets in of what God has for us for eternity, and we start thinking about the things that were getting us so stressed out around here, I think it's just going to be like nothing. Like we would almost be embarrassed to think that we were so worried about those things, you know, in light of what eternity has for us. And so I really believe that seeking the Lord and the scriptures would say, hungering and thirsting after righteousness it says that they will be filled. And I don't think that that means just filled in a satisfaction or a contented way spiritually, but I believe that he's going to make us completely satisfied, and he's going to meet all of our needs, and we will be without lack, essentially, of what is necessary or what is needful in our lives. I was asked during lunchtime, you know, how I viewed my experience for the 22 years that I was in prison, and I would say that one of the things that really stood out to me was I had more when I found the Lord and I got saved. My life was better than it had ever been before. And I could literally say that with sincerity of heart and know that it was true. And my environment was not what you would want it to be. You know, I didn't have a whole bunch of stuff. I didn't have a car to drive or a house to live in. I didn't have anything essentially that belonged to me other than what would fit in a few boxes. But yet somehow God had given me something that I could not get anywhere else. That I could not obtain anywhere else. And it was a soul satisfaction that it's hard to explain. A peace that surpasses understanding, no doubt. Amen. And that's what God has for us. When we can really give ourselves to Him and give ourselves to a spiritual focus of mind and have a desire for the things of God above and beyond everything else. And it's not to say that we can't have temporal needs or that we can't have those things that we desire on a temporal level. I believe that the Lord does want us to have some of those things. I don't think He wants us to have all of them. I really don't think He wants us to have all of them. And I'll say the reason why is that the same reason why you don't want your children to never have any hardship or troubles is going to spoil them. And it'll spoil you too. If you had everything that you ever wanted and dreamed to have in life, and your pursuit of those things was successful, I believe it wears down on your spiritual commitment and your surrender to God. That's just my opinion. But I do believe that it wears on you spiritually, and it causes your focus for the things of God to deteriorate. And it eventually affects you spiritually in your service to the Lord. I really believe the Lord wants us to seek after those things which are spiritual beyond those things which are temporal. And He will meet our needs on a temporal level. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 and 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. You know, when I think of these scriptures, you know, I feel like the contrast is, you know, seeking the Lord where it says, the fear of the Lord, I believe that is somebody that's submitted unto God, that is seeking the Lord and directing of his life and prioritizing the things of God. And he's saying that's better. It's a greater treasure. Greater treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. When we heap up unto ourselves the things of the world, it has trouble that comes with it, and it eventually deteriorates our spiritual growth and our spiritual pursuit. It would be better if you had not gained it than to have gained it and lost your treasure, which was your relationship with the Lord. I wish I wish that my friend had stayed on track and had kept focused. And I believe the Lord would have took care of his needs. And I think he probably would have been out prior to me even seeing him again if he had just stayed focused and allowed the Lord to direct his steps. But instead, he fell back and got entangled with the things of this world. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is. You know, we use the excuse of not wanting our children to suffer any needs or to want anything, and wanting to give them more than what we had as a child, or you know what I mean, the things that people say, and we think that that is what is going to bring about some sort of great benefit unto them. But it's saying here that it would be better if they had a dinner of herbs, where love was the focus of the family, where love and the unitedness of the family and the gathering together and having time one with another and laughing and having fun with each other and spending that quality time is far more valuable than having a stalled ox in the pen somewhere or having all the all the properties and all the, I don't know, the toys and different things that we could get encumbered with if we're not careful. It would be better if we didn't have any of that and had the love of God in our home, or had the peace of God in our home, or that our home was enveloped in the pursuit of the kingdom of God. That would be a far bigger treasure than if we were to heap up all the amenities of life. I really believe that it's something that we focus or that we deal with throughout our lives, the balance of seeking after our temporal things and the pursuit of God. And I think it bears noting that if we can just stay focused and we can just stay with our vision intent on God and on His kingdom and on His priorities and His will and His path, that He's going to lead us in a good way, and He's going to care about our needs. He's going to have compassion upon us, and He's going to say, I know they need these things, and He's going to provide for those things as well. And He's going to bring us into a good place and give us the blessings that He has for us. The Word of God says, what does it profit if you gain the whole world and yet lose your own soul? So I pray the Lord would help us to focus on what He has for us and the hunger for the things of God rather than the things of this world. Pray for me.